All right, here we go. The Mishnah on above Metzia Daf Membeis Amar Aleph 42a. The Mishnah says, "Hamafkid Mauset al Chaveri." You give money as opposed to an item or an animal. Hamafkid Mauset al Chaveri. Tziraran v'hifshilan la'achorav. Let's say, what does this mean? You bundled them and you put them behind you.
Slung it over your shoulder.
Right, they're in some kind of sack or something. I think we've talked about this before. That we had this in Lamed Vav, that the Bailey takes the money, puts it over his shoulder, and they were stolen from behind him because that's how he was holding them. Oshem Esaram Livno Vitalokhtan, where he gave it to his children, Vinal Bifneim, and he properly guarded the home they were in. The door is locked. Shalokaraoi.
It says you're improper.
Oh yeah, sorry. Vinal Bifneim Shalokaraoi Chayev. So then you're Chayev. Shloshimer Kederech Hashomrim. Because he wasn't doing it properly. To sling the money over your back or to give it to kids without proper security. So that is, that's pshia. It's not a ones. But if it was stolen when he did have the proper, he did take the proper precautions, so then that's an ones case. And you would be pater. Says the Rabbish, "Hamakulu shloshimer k'derech hashomrim el tzron v'fshilan achorav mayhayal hava le'lemhevai." The fact that it's slung over his shoulder is negligence. So Amarava, what was he supposed to do otherwise? Amarava, Amar Vitzchak, Amar Kravitzar takasef biyadcha. Thought that pasuk to be a decha. Vitzar takasef.
We're talking about heavy coins potentially here,
right? Even if they are bundled up, so they should still be in your hand. Okay, an interesting drasha, because that pasuk is clearly talking about, first of all, it's not talking about shmira, it's talking about, I believe that's, actually, I don't know for sure. I think it's talking about bikurim, or maaser sheni, where you're taking the money to Yerushalayim. Which is not what we're talking about here, but it's also descriptive. I don't think that's a halacha. You have to put it in your hands. That's just the description of what's going on. But okay, interesting drasha from Rava, from Rabbi Yitzchak, that Rava quotes. V'yama Rabbi Yitzchak li'olim yekas v'shalad matzu b'yado sh'nemar v'tzartakas p'yadecha b'yadcha. That a person should always be carrying it in his hands. V'yama Rabbi Yitzchak li'olim yashlish adam es ma'osav shlish b'kark shlish b'prakmatcha u'shlish tachas yado. Is this him saying you should diversify? You should always have a third of your money invested in your... Oh, no. It means literally hidden away in your land. Yeah. I think that's what it means. Yeah. You should literally hide it.
Is this a, no, it says invested. In
oh, you have invest? I have, in between the notes here, I have Yatsmin Bikarka. I would have thought it meant... Yeah. Yeah, the Marsha additionally says that it means investment. But the Stam is that it's literally in the ground. Either way, invested in land, invested in your business, and a third of it should be liquid assets. I highly doubt that that is the proposed proportions today. Yeah.
Third in stocks, a third in bonds.
Right, maybe, I don't know.
Third in thrown to the wind.
Yeah. I just wonder, I guess it depends how you define liquid assets today. I mean, back then it was, you literally had money. You had physical cash somewhere. But okay, if you have Rabbi Yitzchak, come in, brach, say, ala bedavar, hasamay min ha'ayin. I guess once we're talking about Rabbi Yitzchak, so we're doing other brachos, specifically about property. And that is that bracha is only found, blessing of your stuff, property is only found when it is not seen. Shnemar Yitzchak Hashem Yitzchak Sabracha Ba'asamecha. Ba'asamecha, I think, literally means your baskets. But in this case, Asamecha, we're saying, is darshaned as a samoy, like blinded from or not seen. Meaning if something is out in the open, you're showing it off to people, so then it is... I guess an ayin hara of some kind. Tan de Beir, I'm mixing two midrashim there, but I think that's sort of the same concept. Tan de Beir Shmuel, Ein Brach Mesiyah Ela B'Davar She'en Ha'ayin Sholet Espel. She'en Rei Tav Hashem Yitzchez Ha'Brach Ha'Ba'al Samecha. What's the difference between the two? I'm not really sure. Something which is not, which an eye cannot see. Again, sounds like an iron heart type of thing.
Tan Rabbanan Hol. Or just a practical thing, you know, if you're flaunting your wealth everywhere, people are going to see. It's not just jealous of being Ayin Hara, but people are going to think.
Right, they're going to know that you have money and then sort of leverage that, yeah. Tanur Rabbanan, Haholich Lamodas Gorno. If a person goes to measure his grain, Omer Yiratz Omav Nachashem Elokeinu Shetishlach Bracha Maaseh Yadeinu. Interesting, very similar phrasing to last week's parsha. You shall send a blessing to the work of our hands. Shehis chalamud, when he starts counting. Oh yeah, this is right. Okay, I know this. Omer baruch hashalech baruch lebakri hazeh. Once you start measuring, you should say that, you know, blessed is Hashem who sends blessing to this pile. Madad v'achar kach berech, if you measured and then you blessed Hashem for it. Hareza tzfilas shav. V'she'en avrach mitzuya lo b'davar ha-shakul v'lo b'davar ha-madud v'lo b'davar ha-manoi el b'davar ha-samoi v'en ha-ayin sh'nevi tzav ha-shem yitchaz ha-brach ha-ba-samecha. This is the old, we learned this one in school because, you know, people daven for a good grade or something like that. Once the grade has been, once it's been graded, you can't daven anymore. It's already been measured. But
this makes it sound like
before the grade has been actually done, so you can daven that the teacher is going to give you a good grade. But once the grade, there's nothing you can do about it, right?
I'm not sure about that. That's a good point, but I'm not sure that this really illustrates the point. Once the grain's harvested and is there.
Oh, no, so this is saying that there's a certain potential where there's a it leaves open the possibility that Hashem will literally give you greater blessing with a miracle. Once you see it, and it's clear and obvious to you what you have, what you don't have, so then you've got a problem. Then you can't get any more.
So this raises the question, you know.
This is also very similar to like medical diagnoses.
Yeah.
People say you can daven, and once you know the diagnosis, you can't daven that it goes away, that it is what it is. But before that, you can daven that the scan shows up in a certain way. Even if it hasn't been looked at yet, that kind of thing.
That the baby, unborn baby, be a boy or a girl.
I don't know about that. I guess I don't see why not.
It already is.
Oh, so that, no, that's a good point. That's a good point. That's the same type of thing. Until it's been seen on a sonogram or something like that, so then you can still daven. The point is, once it's been seen, so then that davening is a fila shav if you're asking for something which has already been observed. How to apply that in all cases, not sure, but those are some examples. Amar Shmuel, Ksafim Elam Shmira El Bekarka. Real security of money can only be done with the ground. Now, I don't know what you're thinking about, what your Gemaras have, but this might also refer to security, but it sounds more like, at least the pshat sounds more like physically, it's best secured when you put it in the ground. Rava, umodi Shmuel be'erev Shabbos ben Hashemashes zelo atrichu Rabbanan. The Shomer doesn't have to go bury something in the ground when it's right before Shabbos. I guess the point is that we're not going to hold that person responsible if he gets it on late Friday afternoon. He doesn't have to put it in the ground to make sure he's not liable. V'isha halamotzei Shabbos shir lemikbereinu v'lo kabrinu. But if after Shabbos you waited an amount of time which you could have buried and you didn't, so then mechayev. So then it's going to be considered negligent if you don't do what you need to do. Vitor merabanan hu, and if he's a wise Talmud Chacham, savar dilma mivayle zuze la avdalta. Maybe I'm going to need money to buy wine for Avdallah. Or maybe the person that gave me money is going to want his money back for Avdallah, and therefore he's not going to bury it just yet. Yeah. And nowadays, interesting phrase from the Gemara, and nowadays, where we have so many thieves, again, I don't know what nowadays is, but we have so many thieves who...
What's
Gosheshi? No? I have people who feel the grounds.
These are people who...
They have like metal detectors. I don't know.
Diviners. It's the
diviners. I have the Gosheshi comes from the word Migashesh, which means to feel.
Well, they would probably do that, some sort of, you know, they're
yeah. So then, Ein Lehem Shmira, Ela B'Shmei Korah.
Rods or whatever.
Something like that, yeah. So, Ein Lehem Shmira, Ela B'Shmei Korah. The only way that you can protect your money is when you put them in the wall. V'Idin Shichi Peromai. And nowadays where you have thieves that break walls, just they break down walls to see where the money is. Ein Lehem Shmira El Beini Urve. But in between the bricks? How's that any different? I guess it's a different kind of wall. It's harder to break. Amarev Amod Shmuel B'Kotel. And Shmuel agrees when it comes to a Kotel, is that stone wall?
I think it's just a wall.
Oh, he says, Shmuel says it's good enough to be a regular wall. It doesn't have to go to a actual brick wall. And nowadays where you have thieves that, do they bang on the wall?
It says they tap on the wall.
Tap on the wall to see if it's hollow or something. Where there aren't any, the thieves don't go and look for hollow spaces at the bottom of the wall. Amr Biacha. Okay, very interesting. The way that they would apply that in their day. I assume today, you have other, I would say today that, you know, Shmuel would say you got to put it in a safe or something like that. Something which is beyond just like a cabinet. Amr Le Ravach, Breder of Yosef, Le Ravashi, Hasim, Tanan, Chamet, Shenefla, Alev, Mapoles, Harihu, Kemevoar. A piece of chametz which was debris fell on it from a bunch of stones. So that's considered like it's already been expunged, and you don't have to go and find it in order to burn it. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel omer kol she'ein hakel yachol chafetz achrav. He says it's all about whether or not the dog could go and get it. V'tana kama chafetz aschel hakel of shlosha tefachim. How deep is the amount that the dog is willing to go? Three tefachim. I'd assume it depends on the material that he has to dig through also, but okay. Hachomai. What's the case here in terms of money in the ground? Until when or how much is considered to be secure? Do we need three tefachim in the same way? Or are they different situations? Over there, the reason why it's got to be three tefachim is because the dog can smell it up to that point. Here we just need it to be invisible. So we don't want to. Tefach. It only needs to be one tefach deep so that people don't notice it. It's in the ground. There was once a guy who gave his money as a deposit to a friend and he put it in, what is that?
A cot of bulrushes.
A cot of bulrushes.
It says you're a hut made of willow.
That's what I have, yeah. A hut of willow branches. I don't know, hut doesn't sound very secure. At least a cot maybe means inside the cot. I don't know.
Well, that's why what happened next happened.
So ignuf, then it was stolen. Amr Yosef Afagab til inin ganav inin turisahi. Even though relative to thieves, that's considered to be guarded. That's not usually where thieves go to look for money. L'inin nura pshusahi. When it comes to burning, he put it in a place that could be burned, yeah. I guess, with those leaves or bulrushes. Why is that tchilas of a pshia? Oh, because the first thing that you did, you put it in danger of being burned. It's kind of interesting. You put it in a place which is not fire resistant. Is that the right word? So the fact that you put it there is itself negligent. It happens to be that you got off the hook because it wasn't actually burned, but it could have been burned. So that's a tchilas of a pshia v'sofa pa'ones case, because the end thing that happened was not something you're in your control, not something that we behold you life for. And therefore, according to at least that opinion, you'd be chayiv. Have a tchilas of a pshia v'sofa pa'ones, I think it's machlokas. V'yiket ha'amri, afa gabzit lina nur p'shusahi, lina ganav ini tirusahi, tchilas of a pshia v'sofa pa'ones, patzer. Yeah, the other opinion says that if you start something off a pshia but then it ends up pa'ones, it's patzer. Somebody does something negligent, and then afterwards something happens which is not negligent, so but sort of out of just sheer luck, the thing that happened wasn't going to hold you liable. So it was not in your control. So then you're still chayev, right? We penalize the decision, not the result, which is interesting. Yeah. A lot of talk about that with Rashi Rice also. Like Rashi Rice and Henry Rice. What's the difference between what they did? Nothing. Just the result. They both made the same bad decision. Right? Just one got lucky. So then why are we punishing one, not the other? It's a slippery slope. But either way. Ha'u gavre da'afkiduzi gavre chavre. Ha'amar le. So there's a person deposited his money, but it's Amar le. Havli zuzai. He said, give me my money back. Amar le. Lo yadana hecha usvenu. I don't know where I put it. They came to Rava. Amar le, kol lo yadana p'shusahi, zil shalim. What's the chiddush there? I feel like that's obvious. Anyone who doesn't remember where they put somebody else's money is considered negligent and has to pay him. I don't get it. Well, what would you think
the
that?
The reason it's obvious is because foundational stories like
I
this.
I guess so. Maybe. Hahu gavre da'afkiz izigai b'chavre ashlim hu l'ime. He paid the money to his mother. He just gave it over to his mother. So she would.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
And he didn't say to her that it's not his money. Vosvina bekar talisa. And she put it in an armoire.
Her work basket.
Oh, her work basket. I have it. Okay. The ignov, and it was stolen. So Amareva, hechi nidayinu, dayane lahaidina. How would the judges, what would the judges say? Interesting phrase. Name alei day zil shalim. If we say to the shomer, go and pay it because you clearly didn't take care of it in the right way, so Omar, they would say kol hamafked al das ishto banav humafked. We saw that also on Lamed Vav, which is relevant to our Mishnah, which says you give it to your kids. So then, so he's going to say that's understood. You give money to your to. Wait a second. This is his mother. I guess if Ishro Ivanov is not literal, but it means people in your family that you know you live with or something like that. So Neimalei Liime Zili Shalimi. Should we say to the mother that she should pay? So Amarli Delavdi Day Ninhu Dekberinhu. I never knew that it was somebody else's money that I should that would have necessitated that I buried it. So Neimalei Amai Lo Amartla. Maybe we should say to him, you should have told your mom, which was my first thought. Amar kol shekain dechi amin alei didi ninhu tfei mizahara behu. I don't know about that, but he says, I thought to myself, if I tell my mother that it's somebody else's money, she'll be less careful about it. I think that's what it's saying, right? If I said it was mine, she would be more careful about my money than somebody else's money.
Yeah, it says if I would tell her that they were mine, she certainly would take better care of them.
Right, this is in contradiction to what we just said, which is she would say, if it was somebody else's, I would have buried it. Now that it's my son's, I'm not going to bury it. Now he would say, no, my mom would take care of my stuff. So clearly, maybe they don't see eye to eye about how much the mother cares about his stuff. But Ella Amareva, so what do you do? This is just sort of like no one's at fault. It's just a bad situation. Or at least no one's completely at fault. Ela marava mishtaba ihu dahan hu zuzei ashlim minhu li'imei. Make the shomer still swear that the money he got from his friend is the one that he gave to his mother, is the stuff he gave his mother. Ubishtaba imei dahan hu zuzei osvinhu bikartalisa v'ignuv. And she should swear that that's what actually happened and it was stolen from her workbench. Upater. And then it'd be pater from paying. Stinks for the friend, or former friend, I guess. Hahu apotropa diasme, the, how do you say apotropos?
Steward.
Steward of an orphan taking care of the property. Dezavan lehu Torah diasme, he gave him an ox. Someone gave him an ox. Someone sold him an ox. He bought for them. The steward bought on behalf of the orphans an ox, umasre lebakara, and he gave it over to a cattle herder. Lo havule kache vishine lemechal. This ox didn't have teeth.
That is weird. Where did that come from?
And therefore, he couldn't eat umis, and he died.
Having no molars or front teeth to eat with it.
Okay, is this like a common thing?
I wouldn't think
so. It's kind of a weird thing.
This
is like one of those cases that, like, again, like we talked about once.
My
David
note said this loss could have been avoided had it been slaughtered and rendered fit for food. Okay, but
why did he give? Why did he buy the manats? Did he buy the manats for working? Did he buy the manats for food? Either way, the animal couldn't have eaten, and therefore
did he check whether it had died. Teeth?
Right. So that's what I guess that's our question. Do we have plausible deniability? Like, this is not normal. I couldn't have seen this coming. Or do we have a case of negligence in the sense that he should have checked out the animal? So Amar Rabbi Bar Chama, what are the judges going to say for this? Namely, Apotropos Zil Shalim. We're going to tell the Apotropos to go pay. Amar Anolavakar Misarte. I gave it to a cattle herder. That's his job, to take care of cattle, and he didn't do that. So Namely, Lavakar Zil Shalim. We're going to talk to the cattle herder. Amar Anabahade Tore Okimte. I put it with the other oxen. Uchla Shadaile. And I gave it food. Uchavi Adina Galachal. How am I supposed to know that it doesn't eat? It's with all the other animals. I don't know. I would not buy that argument. I gave you an animal to watch. You didn't watch it. Maybe, yes, you put it with the other animals. That's not good enough. You have to watch my animal. It's like saying, you know, your dog's sitting and you just let one of the dogs, like, do whatever it wants. You still have to watch the dog, even if it's with the other dogs. I don't know. So I don't hear that one as much. But the Gemara seems to say that's a good enough excuse. So it says Gemara, Michti, Bakar Shomer Sachar D'Yasmehu. I was going to say also, did we pay this cattle herder to take care of the? Is he doing this out of the kindness of his heart? He's taking care of somebody else's ox? That's not a small task. So if he's a Shomer Sachar, if you paid him, so he should have been looking into it. He should have been watching the animal, see if he's eating or not. And the fact that he didn't do that makes it, you know, he's negligent. If there was an actual loss to the orphan, so then yes, you'd be right.
His obligations as a shomer, as a paid shomer, are to prevent it from being stolen, or does he have to?
No, a paid shomer is even bonus, I think. A shomer chinam is off for onis. No, you're right. Shoel is chayev onsin. Shomer sachar is chayev for geneva va'aveda. So he's chayev for theft and for loss, but he's not chayev for onis. So if we can categorize this as an onis, so then I guess it'd be a good question. Here, what we're saying is that it would not be an onis. If he's being paid for it, he should be at least watching it properly, which I guess is tantamount to theft.
Then what could he do? It has no teeth.
You give it a different kind of food, not the same food you give all the other oxen. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what oxen eat or what their diet is when they don't have any teeth. I know that in high school, at a basketball practice, I once collided with another guy on my team, and he broke his jaw. And for 6 weeks, he could only eat liquids because he couldn't move his jaw. I always felt guilty about that, but he figured out a way. He used to, what's a zhuzh? What's the blend? He used to blend like meat and stuff to make it liquid. It was disgusting, but he did it. Okay, either way. So I don't know what the diet is, but he should have figured it out. So b'hachma askin, what's the case here? The lake upsetid yasme the ashkechu l'mari the sora v'shakli yasme zuzimine. Because after the orphans found the seller of the ox, they got their money back. They understood that it was an animal that would eat normally, and it wasn't. So then what's the whole story here? So this is Gemara Elamayin Katayin. So what are we asking even? Mari Desara Katayin. It's the owner of the ox that's now asking. The Apotropos. Because the owner of the ox is now, you know, without an ox because it's dead. Yes, he had to pay back the orphans, but the owner is now saying, "Ibayle lo duon, you should have told the herder. You should have told him that he can't eat." So ma'amodinan le, may the yadin mekach tosave. Why should he have brought it? maybe at the time of the Mechira, the seller should have said, the thing's got no teeth. Says the Gemara, "Bisaf sira dezavan mehacha mezavan hacha." A seller who...
It's a broker.
A broker. Oh, he's the middleman?
Yeah. Buys from here and sells to there on the same day.
And therefore what? And therefore, he's not responsible for his stock?
Since the animal was in his possession for only a short time, he might not have been aware it had no teeth.
That does not fly today.
And it is the broker who's demanding payment from the administrator.
I don't know about that. If you go to Kroger and you buy something and the product is no good because the supplier gave you a no good product, it's still Kroger's fault. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's about a time that the time he had it or the time he didn't have it, so he's less responsible. I don't know. Hilkach, mishtaba lihu delo havi yada, mishan mikara tmei basar bizol. The seller has to... The seller? The seller has to swear he didn't know about it. And he pays for the most minimal cost to an ox.
It says here the seller,
the meat of the ox,
pays that, swears that he didn't know the animal's toothless condition, but the herdsman pays the cheap price of meat.
Right. Well, that's the thing. Oh, the herdsman pays it? Yeah, that's what I have also. It doesn't say that in the Gemara.
Which is 2/3 the usual price. Rashi explains this was a compromise since the
right
cowherd had a semi-veil at play.
That's interesting. We didn't split the money before. When
says that the verdict was strictly in accordance with the law, since the animal couldn't live long, it would have to be slaughtered before.
Right, it was going to be meat anyway.
When it wouldn't purchase for a proper right. price.
It's really a question of timing, because they were going to slaughter it anyway once they found out that the animal had no teeth. And it was going to die. But now that they didn't know that, so it died before they could do that. Interesting. Very interesting. It's interesting also that we didn't, you know, here, at least according to that note, it sounds like we've compromised on the amount that he has to pay, whereas the son who gave it to his mother, they both had tainas. Oh, I didn't know it was his. I would have buried it, blah, blah, blah. So we don't split. We don't compromise how much he pays. We just say he doesn't have to pay at all. Another story. He deposited, what's kashusa? Some kind of plant, no?
Hops.
Yeah. Havali lizei nami kari de kashusa. And he had, the guy himself also had a whole pile of hops. Amrle lizar sei mehai rami. He showed him his personal pile.
Shomer told his attendant.
Oh, told his person. Sarsay. From here, you should take for your payments. Azal Ramim Idach. But then he went and took from the guy's
deposit. No, it's not payment. He's asking his attendant.
Oh, to make beer.
Make beer. Take it from my pile, and he takes it from
me. I have the letters Shin Yud Chaf Resh, which I assume to be Sechar. Or like Schachar, so but it's not, it's Shechar.
I don't have his attendant, I have his brewer.
Brewer, okay, same type of thing.
Which would make sense with
Right. So, I mean, makes sense with
the
beer.
The result is the same.
He used the wrong hops. Azar Amam Yidach. Amar of Amram, Heichin Yidainu Yidainu Lahaydina. How are you going to deal with this? Namely, Didei Zil Shalim. Amar Ana Amri Leim Hayrami. We're going to tell the Bailey to pay up. He told his worker to do the proper thing. So, namely, the Sar says, "We're going to tell the worker to do it, to pay up." He didn't say take from this and not from that one. He just said take from that one. I figured he was the one that was available. Says Gemara, if the brewer had time, that he could have brought the hops of the regular pile of his employer, and he didn't. So then clearly the Baal Bais was okay for him to take from the Bailey, the guarded stuff. I don't know about that. What does the time have to do with it? I don't know. I guess what it's saying is that the Baal Bais pile was closer and the Baal Bayis would have expected him to come within a certain amount of time, and then this took him such a long time, it was almost obvious that he wasn't using the Baal Bayis' stuff.
Just for he knew that the attendant must have taken from the deposited hops, yet right. He didn't rebuke him.
It must be a huge distance away or something like that. So God says, remember the Bidlo Shala. The case is when there wasn't much of a delay. So my Pseidika, Vaha Kamishtar Shile. What loss was there? He made hops, and therefore he made beer, right, from the hops, and therefore he can give him the beer. Is that what that's saying?
No, it says he should simply replace the owner's hops with his
own. Oh, is that what, okay. You can just give the other ones. So I'm ready.
I know where this is going.
What do you think?
It's something's happened.
Right. It's Shino, yeah. Amrev Sama Bred Rava Dahava Shikra Chala. The beer was weaker?
What is that? Spoiled and turned into beer.
Spoiled. And therefore what?
Since the Shomer gained no benefit from the entrusted hops, he doesn't have to pay the owner because of the benefit he received.
Wait. The proposition was he should pay for the beer? And now that the beer is no good, he's saying, I don't want to pay for it?
Two separate answers. It does seem as though this first one is saying he could have given the beer. It sounds like he used up all the hops.
Uh-huh. The first one I thought was saying you can just give the other hops. And Rav Sama Bered Rav is now saying, no, the beer was no good. And therefore he doesn't want to give the other hops because now he's going to lose out on hops. Because the one hops didn't do anything for him. So Rav Ashi Amar Bekisei. Bekisei is what? With thorns?
Thorns.
Yeah, the deposited hops were mixed with thorns, so the beer didn't turn out.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. Okay. So Zagmar Mishalom Le Demekisei. And therefore he should only pay the amount of money for hops with thorns. Okay. Which is the amount of money that he actually got from it, which is kind of interesting. We're basically saying it's not his fault, and all he has to pay is the stuff that he was given, even though he shouldn't have done that anyway. But it makes sense. I guess if you're given a lower product, you only have to pay back that lower product's worth. Alrighty. Yeah. Interesting stories.